Actually, I was hoping to talk a little more about how we might move the Conservative Party of Canada's policy closer to a demand of a free Palestine, but I thought that would be an interesting challenge because, you know, Stockwell Day talked about how he asserted that dinosaurs and humans had lived side by side at the same time, and ever since then, Randy White has been trying to prove the truth of that assertion. So, but no, we have a slightly less difficult task to discuss tonight, but a very important one, and that is how to move not the Conservative Party, not the Liberal Party, not even the NDP towards a more just position, and specifically a position against this wall, but how to move that sort of vague public opinion in Canada, and in some cases non-existent or just uninformed opinion, and of course the media helps in this way, how to move that towards a position of understanding of the fundamental issues in the Middle East, the role that the wall plays literally in the middle of all this, and how we can bring in more people across this country to really demand that we affect change in Palestine. So I have a bit of, and I want to keep it pretty short because we also want to get you know, real suggestions and feedback from people here tonight. I think it's a very significant turnout of people who have given up you know, part of their Friday night, and I'm very encouraged by that. I was also very encouraged by a conference I attended last weekend. I went as a delegate of the Stop War Coalition to a Pan-Canadian Peace Conference that was held in Toronto. Close to 150 delegates, people representing coalitions and little peace groups from big cities and small, from Halifax. Quebec was well represented, Ontario obviously in Toronto, to the Prairies, to Vancouver, Victoria, and we met Scott from a surprisingly very active peace group in Whitehorse in the Yukon. Only surprising because it's a small population. Not to have nothing against the people in the north. They had been actually part of a very interesting action crossing into the United States to protest at a base in Alaska. And just something to think about. Not anything I'm advocating. Not advocating anyone going to the United States right now, actually. No offense to our guest. But actually, they asked us, they had some of us speak on a panel from representing coalitions across the country, and they asked us to talk about how we got involved in the peace movement, in the anti-war movement. And so for me, I explained my own involvement, and it really came out of this second intifada and out of the brutal Israeli war. I mean, it is a war, and repression that has happened over the last few years. And that really galvanized myself and a number of friends and other people to really get serious about working on advocacy for Palestine. And, you know, I mentioned specifically the spring of 2002 was a really hot spring. That was when the massacre in Jenin happened. And people forget that sometimes when they're talking about this most recent anti-war movement, that many people were working on the issue of Palestine before Iraq was really, really clearly going to happen. So I think the seeds for the big anti-war demonstrations we saw were in those mobilizations and in that activism around Palestine. So I just explained that that was my own experience. And it's been very heartening to see the issue of Palestine taken up as part of the big mobilizations that happened before the war in Iraq, and it's become especially obvious since. So I'll get a little more into what happened at this Canadian Peace Alliance convention in Toronto. But first thing I just wanted to say was, I'm sure many of you, and I recognize many of you from different things, marched, likely more of you before the war in Iraq started. We had 30,000, 40,000 out in the streets of Vancouver. And it's really important that you know, we stay in the streets opposing what's happening in Fallujah. And also, I think we have the opportunity now and the responsibility to see those big numbers out in the streets again. And to that end, they've set, internationally it's been set, the March 19th to 21st weekend. There'll be major days of action. And they'll be taken up across Canada. So people should start marking that weekend and start getting the word out. And we'll see lots of Palestinian flags at those rallies, I'm sure, as we always do now. And that's a big step forward for the anti-war movement. So like I said, I'll get back a little bit to the convention and some of the possibilities that for organizing against the wall in a little bit. But I was reading the paper this morning, and I saw some really nice things being said about Yasser Arafat, who is of course just passed away. And the quotes were attributed to George Bush. George Bush's weren't really nice, but George Bush and Paul Martin both had some, I thought, interesting comments that I thought I should reflect on a little bit. Paul Martin said something to the effect of Arafat had been a symbol of the Palestinian struggle for self-determination. And George Bush said, again, repeated his supposed desire to see two democratic states in the Middle East, to see a Palestinian state. And so I thought, first of all, we should always be wary of the words of our politicians. But by the same time, I thought, you know, so what are they trying to get at here? Is Bush, and Bush is particular, I think, is the one of Martin's, I think, is just typical Canadian liberalism, you know, saying something nice at the diplomatically appropriate time while pursuing a different policy. Sorry, I hope I didn't insult anyone with that, but I think that's the history of the Canadian government. But I thought, why is Bush talking about two states again? And he's the first president to really put this out there vocally. And is it because Bush is the most considerate of the Palestinians, or the most Christopher Hitchens, who is, you know, an old leftist who has been making this steady alcohol-fueled slide to the right? He actually, it is. I mean, no offense there either, but it's fueled by a lot of other stuff in his case. But he's been making this case that it's actually because the neoconservative group around Bush has Palestinians' interests at heart. But I've seen it. But what I really think it reflects is how the facts on the ground have changed for Palestinians. It's not an option for Israel to annex the West Bank and Gaza, because we know that they have their demographic problem. That is, if they have too many Arab and Palestinian citizens, if you try to maintain a one-person, one-vote, you're obviously going to you're gonna be defeated. And Israel has no interest in being that kind of democracy. But the reason that Bush is talking about a Palestinian state now, whereas Clinton wouldn't vocalize that, is because of what's happened since Oslo on the ground. All through Oslo from 1993, the settlements were expanding. A big part of this in the latest intifada is Palestinians leaving just through the sheer misery of the conditions. This is their slow attempt at so-called ethnic cleansing. And the other factor that's changing the facts on the ground is, of course, the wall. So I think we always, the wall being built again inside the West Bank, inside the Green Line, on the Palestinian side of the Green Line, and physically taking more Palestinian territory, making that so-called Palestinian state that Bush is talking about even more unviable than it's ever been, and even more lacking in justice. So I think we should be careful when people say, oh yeah, I support a state for the Palestinians. That really is not saying anything unless you're addressing the specific issues. And we have to look at the reality on the ground, which is always concrete. And in this case, the problem is literally concrete. The problem is the wall. And I was thinking about why the wall is so important for all of us to take on. And we come from different organizations. You might notice there's a fair number of Palestinian support organizations in the city. And that's fine, because there are a lot of different issues to demand justice for. But I was thinking about it, and the wall is a barrier to implementation of any of these rights. You can end the occupation. What are you going to leave the wall there? I mean, obviously, the wall will have to come down to end the occupation. To have a viable state for Palestinians to return to, if and when the refugees return, you're going to have to take down the wall. And so I think it should be and can be and needs to be a lowest common denominator for all of us who are seeking peace and justice in the Middle East. And I think it should be a lowest common denominator, just getting back to the Erica touched briefly on the political parties, but at the very least for the New Democratic Party, opposition to the wall should be a lowest common denominator. And Pat Martin, the MP in the Winnipeg area, has been quite outspoken in favor of the wall and viciously sort of taking shots at anyone on the pro-Palestinian side of things. And I think if there's any members, I suspect there's one or two members of the NDP, or if you have an MP, I think that that should be a demand put on that particular party, which is at least the most progressive major party in Canada, that opposition to the wall should be a lowest common denominator in their parliamentary caucus. The way that, you know, support for gay marriage was a lowest common denominator demanded of candidates and members of that caucus, I think it's an equally fundamental issue, and we should really push for that. And maybe I'll just wrap up back on this Canadian Peace Alliance convention. I wasn't the only one from Vancouver who attended, so other people might have some thoughts in the discussion. And I'm relatively new to the anti-war movement myself, but from my understanding, this was really a landmark convention, and it helped to, I think, codify or put down into paper and into resolutions, just sort of reflect the changes in the anti-war movement that have happened over the last 2 or 3 years, the really positive developments in the international movement. Although it was not able to stop the war in Iraq, it brought record numbers of people into the streets, and I think it really forced people to activists and people going out on their first demonstrations to really think about what it is that we're opposing. We weren't just opposing this one-time illegal, immoral invasion of Iraq. We were opposing this whole system of empire that is behind that war, the drive for oil, the drive for control of the Middle East. And so people's awareness really grew by being part of that movement. And people's awareness about Palestine grew as well. Some people came to their first rally ever and saw a flag, or saw 100 flags, and said, what's that a flag for? People asked me that when we were out on the demonstrations, and so they had it explained to them, and speakers explained it to them. And this is a very, very positive development. So quickly, just finishing up, the convention passed a very strongly worded resolution against the wall, against the occupation. It had an interesting addition to the resolution. Some of you know that Mordecai Vanunu has recently been released from his long prison sentence for stating the fact that Israel had a nuclear weapons arsenal. Now, he wants to leave Israel, but he's not allowed to. So it was included in the resolution. This was put forward by a group that had been working against nuclear arms for many years, and Vanunu is obviously a hero to that whole cause. So it was added into the resolution that if Mordecai Vanunu so chooses...
He's been arrested again.
Okay, thanks for the update. So he's obviously not safe in Israel, so what was tacked onto the resolution was that the Canadian government should grant him asylum, should he so seek to come to Canada. So it's not just our American brothers and sisters that we should be offering asylum to, but also I think that was an excellent cause to add. And I'll just quickly say other resolutions were passed on Afghanistan, on Colombia, on Haiti, where the government of Canada has been very involved, very important resolutions. And pardon me?
Tibet?
Tibet was not discussed. Sudan was discussed. So I'm going to wrap up just by saying we passed a bunch of nice resolutions. We'll get them to you in the form of email and so forth. But I was just thinking, just like the International Court of Justice ruling, they're really just words on a piece of paper. They're really just analysis, facts, and ideas. And they're a nice sentiment until we really mobilize, until we really do the work on the ground to implement them. And so I hope that, I think all of you being here tonight is a sign that you're interested in doing that work. And I look forward to doing it with you over the, or as long as it takes to bring down the wall. Thanks.